And good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Nice to have you here again.
It's good to be back. It's good to have a nice sunshiny morning anyway.
Absolutely.
It's clouding up later, but we hope you stay tuned for the whole program because we have a really great program for you this morning. Mark Doherty, the owner of Mark's East Side, is going to be our guest today. We'll be getting to Mark in just a few minutes. But as usual, we would like to tell you a little bit about the BizTalk program and Score Chapter. The Fox City Score Chapter brings you the program each weekend. The Fox City Score Chapter is headquartered in the Chamber Building in downtown Appleton. We serve the 8-county area going from Appleton down through Oshkosh and into Fond du Lac. We have approximately 40 to 45 mentors who provide free counseling service, mentoring service to those who are in business or those who would like to start a business. You can learn more about that service by contacting us at foxcities.score.org or calling the chamber at 734-7101. The services are free. The mentors are professional people. They've got many years of experience in different areas such as marketing, IT, social media, HR, production, manufacturing, banking, cash flow, legal issues, accounting. So if you're looking for some assistance for your business or you'd like to grow your business, consider consulting with SCORE. It's free. And again, you can reach us at foxcities.score.org on the web. Randy, we also put on some seminars. The SCORE chapter is pretty active in the Fox Cities area, training people, offering services, that training seminars and so on. We have a couple coming up. What's coming up?
Right. On the seminar side, coming up as of September the 20th will be the first program. It's the basics program for the Simple Steps program that we offer here at
Appleton. That's a five-part.
Yes. The program has five classes. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the first one is on the 20th of September. It runs from 8 o'clock in the morning till about 12:30 at noon. It's going to be held over at the Copper Rock mm-hmm. coffee shop downtown Appleton. They have a very nice conference room there, and we can sit in. But the nice thing is also they have very good coffee there, which is provided. We'll have some snacks, and including lunch in that mm-hmm. program. It's a $25 program, and what we try to do is cover all of the basics as far as what's involved with a business plan and going into business to kind of make a decision where you want to go. Then after that, the next four sessions come up in October, and those are going into detail on the topics of marketing. They go into the detail on the topic of cash flow and cash management. Where do you find the money as far as loans and that type of thing? And also into the types of business. Do you want to be a LLC or whatever? Mm-hmm. So each one of these has a separate topic. They're $25 mm-hmm. each also. And those are in the evening, and those will be in October 3rd, 10th, 17th and 24th.
Those are Wednesdays?
Those are Wednesday nights yep. from 6 until 9. But we'll have you register for the first one. After that, make the decision whether you want to go for the rest of them and whether you feel, you know, this is really for you. Because the idea after the first one is to kind of make a decision. Mm-hmm. Have you really figured it out? Do you really want to go ahead with your business? And we want to give you as much information as we can to get you started.
This is our fourth one?
Yeah.
We've
had a number of very successful sessions like this. Out of that, I think we have probably 3 to 5 businesses that have opened. A couple of them that we're going to be probably having as guests in the very near future. And so it's been a very, very good program for people who, as I said, are just thinking about it, don't really know for sure what they want to do, or for people who have been in business and have questions and problems,
absolutely.
Need help, where do I go from here?
It's a great refresher.
Right. And we also, the nice thing about it is, in addition to having a lecturer who does the program, who's me, I know you take part in one of them, we have a couple of the other people, we always have a number of our SCORE mentors,
right.
the people who you're actually going to be working with one-on-one, so you can meet them, find out their backgrounds a little bit more, and really get a good feeling for what SCORE can do for you.
Randy, I think another big benefit to the program is that we give out the disc with all of the spreadsheets and the financial
right.
statements and all the worksheets on it. So we want business owners who are really passionate about their business and they know about their business, but they may be struggling with understanding numbers.
Yep.
This is a great program to help them understand how to apply numbers to their business. And we walk through it. Mary Lou Vandehei does a really good job with that on the accounting side.
Correct.
And we give out those discs that have those spreadsheets on it so that folks can really go back and use that template and just plug their numbers in and see the model that they have on the disk and compare how that works with their numbers.
Right. That piece of hardware is probably
software.
That disk is probably worth the price of admission right there.
Oh, yeah. There's a great deal of value by attending these programs, not to mention the networking that occurs between the people who are attending the program.
Now, in addition to that, we also offer single-day programs as well, and we have one that's going to be coming up in November. Mm-hmm. One of the areas, whenever we talk about marketing, that people get involved in is, how do I find the numbers? Where do I do the research? Where can I get some answers? So we're going to be doing about 3 hours. It'll be on March 15th. Mm-hmm. And that will be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Okay. That'll be down at the chamber office. If you're interested in that one, we'll be having registration starting on that one very shortly. But the title is going to be Market Research.
Okay.
Where do I find it? How do I do it? It's going to be very, very excellent for people who have questions in that area.
And folks can learn more about these two programs at our website, foxcities.score.org. Or biztalkwithscore.com,
right,
which
we
is
do
our
have,
website.
Right, our new website here at BizTalk does have a link directly to that. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in registering, go right ahead. That's the easiest way to get to us. In fact, go out to the BizTalk website anyway. There's a lot of things on there for you. And, in fact, if you want to talk to us this morning, have any questions, I can pick that up on here also. You can leave comments.
Randy has his laptop fired up here, and we have the ability to take your questions via the email. If you go to biztalkwithscore.com, and you can shoot questions to us, we can ask Mark Doherty a couple questions,
sure.
Or you can call us on the phone number here at 281-1150 in Appleton.
Right.
I'll give those numbers out in a minute.
Okay. One other thing, mm-hmm. Tony, as we're going along, the programs that we have as far as the different seminars and so on all have a cost to them. There's $25 or $35, depending on which one. If you're a veteran out there, I want to remind you that SCORE has a new program. It's called the Veterans Fast Launch Program. If you are interested in taking any of these sessions, all you have to do is go out to the national website.
Mm-hmm.
I love to give all these websites out, but the national website, which is score.org. Click on the link to the Veterans Fast Launch Program, and you can get a certificate there that'll give you any or all of these programs free.
Now, if you're a veteran from the Iraq, Afghanistan theaters, or like Randy from the Civil War, you can still you can get one of those certificates and you can attend for free. Right?
Yeah, Vicksburg was really rough, but
then
of course you can tell us about that.
Veterans eligible for
right.
this. It's a great program for veterans. I would also like to thank those who bring the program to you each week. We couldn't do this without these sponsors, and we very much appreciate their support. Associated Bank has been a sponsor of BizTalk for a number of years. In fact, they're going to have a representative coming on September 22nd, who's going to be a business lender. He's going to be talking about how do you get a business loan and what are the banks looking for. So that should be a great program if you want to tune in on September 22nd. Want to thank Alberts & Hailing, Kurt Hailing over at Alberts & Hailing here in Appleton. They have an office in Green Bay, full-service CPA accounting firm. Lakeview Credit Union with three offices, two in Neenah, one in Appleton. We'd also like to thank Herling Clark Law Firm over on Lindale Drive in Appleton for helping us keep this program going. And we'd like to extend a special thank you to Business News for helping to promote our program and their biweekly periodical called Business News. If you're not subscribed to it, you should be, because as a business owner, every 2 weeks you get a subscription, you get a newspaper that tells you what's going on in the business world in East Central Wisconsin. And also thank eBiz Results, located in Oshkosh. They're the company that helped us build our new website, and we very much appreciate that. Randy and I are learning this new website, and we want to thank them for their support.
And don't want to forget about Lakeview Credit Union.
We mentioned Lakeview.
Did we mention?
We mentioned Lakeview.
Okay.
You were just taking a little nap right there.
Okay,
so
I'm back.
Civil
okay,
War
thanks.
Guys. Okay, with that, we're going to take a little break right now. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll be introducing Mark Doherty from Mark's Eastside, where you're listening to the BizTalk program on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And good morning. Welcome back to BizTalk this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer, and our guest this morning is someone pretty special. Many of you probably have heard of him and know of his business. Our guest is Mark Doherty of Mark's Eastside Dining and Cocktails. And he's located on East Wisconsin Avenue, just east of Appleton Papers, about half a mile.
Right. Yeah, and you can still get there even though Ballard Road doesn't exist. But, yeah, just a little bit ways from Ballard
Road. And it's worth getting there.
Absolutely. Voted for the best fish, I think, in the valley how many times?
Yeah.
Mark, go.
So, right. Mark, good morning. Tell us about yourself and your restaurant, and just give us a little, who are you and what do you do?
All right. Well, like you said, Mark Doherty, Mark's Eastside, second generation, family-owned and operated since 1967. My parents were local Valley people. I said I moved around a lot when I was young. I went from born Kaukauna, moved to Menasha, then we went over to Little Chute and then back to Appleton. So I've really traveled.
You didn't get lost in that.
We did not. So they took over in 1967, and then I took over in 1982 after I graduated from college. Didn't know if this was what I was going to do for the rest of my life, and I jokingly say I still don't. I'm still having fun with it, and we're going ahead. Married, two children. We got a 15 and a 17-year-old. Got one going off to college, and that takes care of a lot of my time.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah, and the business has been there, as you said, for many, many years. Different names on it as it progressed.
Yeah, my parents started off. My dad was, for those longtime listeners, I guess, he was at a place in Little Chute called Tony Wonders,
and I remember that.
Okay, he worked for Tony for about 2 years, and then he went over to bought the place in '67, and he called it Chef Bill's, longtime area chef, and he ran the back, and my mom ran the front, and that's how they handled the operation.
It was called something before Chef Bill's, right?
Now, that's the bonus round. You get the bonus points for that one going back to the Normandy.
There you go.
We have a picture in the restaurant, the Normandy,
right.
And it was built as a supper club, I believe, back in about 1948.
Okay, just post-war. Mm-hmm. Just fellas are coming back from the war, and they wanted to start a business, and someone built a supper club.
Yep.
And it's still there.
So now, in today's world, that's one of the things we wanted to talk about a little bit is actually, you know, starting something. Now, Mark, I know you said you're a second generation, didn't actually start the business, but actually running the business is pretty much the same as getting it started. Can we tell us a little bit about some of the things that, you know, you've learned over the time now that you've been running the business and some of the things you'd recommend for people to think about as far as restaurants are concerned?
Well, there's a joke out there about how to make a fortune, a small fortune in the restaurant business. As you start with a large fortune, you buy a restaurant, and that's how you create a small fortune.
There you go.
All kidding aside, it is one of the things. I haven't started one up, so I was fortunate in the regard. I don't know how I'd do with that, so I didn't have to do that. I was an existing operation, and I took over. I think, you know, a few of the pitfalls that people do in starting up one is just is cash flow and underestimating cost. Cost all the way around, cost of operation, cost of repair. We joke a lot in the business, you know, people will talk about a restaurant or a bar as a gold mine. You know, you come in the morning, there's chunks of gold laying around for you to pick up in the mine. And I said, well, it might be a gold mine, but you know, it takes a lot to keep the good mining equipment running. You know, we have a lot of moving parts in a restaurant. There's lots of equipment, the compressors, and it seems like something is always kind of going on the fritz. So I think underestimating repair and this just general cost of operation, maybe underestimating payroll, food costs, just cost in general.
And it's not just a 40-hour week. It's every day. And I can tell in your voice, Mark, that you have an ingredient called passion for this. You were saying before the show that I asked you, do you work 40-hour weeks? And you said, well, I really don't count my hours. What is the significance of that?
You know, I think in when you're counting hours, I don't know, maybe you're working, you know what I mean? And you're counting your hours and figuring it that way. When you're in business, I think in your own business, and I think especially the restaurant industry or hospitality industry, you know, I think if you want to count hours and limit your hours, I don't know if it's the industry for you. When I was younger and I started off, I was 23 years old and I worked a ton, but I enjoyed it. I was building, I was growing, passion, making mistakes. One time in the restaurant, a lesson learned as far as the management, I was the only cook I had for a day. I mean, the only one in the restaurant.
Wow.
A little turnover, and it was a life lesson for me. So I've never really counted my hours. I enjoy what I do.
Right.
I guess, but if you wanted to put a number on it, a 40-hour week probably won't get it done in the restaurant industry.
I'd like to give out the phone number if you have a question for Mark, if you'd like to call in and have a question. Our number is 281-1150. If you'd like to call Mark here at WHBY, 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, please use the TDS Metricom toll-free line. That number is 1-866-887-1150. Mark, in running your restaurant, there are always challenges. There are always things that come up, things outside your control, like a street going in. You've had that several times on Wisconsin Avenue. And some of the folks, excuse me, will remember the no smoking ban, the smoking ban. And I remember that I think it went to vote three times, and the restaurant and bar industry, there was a lot of stuff going on. How did the industry get through that? How did you get through that, Mark? How do you get through something like that?
Well, that was interesting, and we've been talking about the smoking ban for a long time. I'm also involved in the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Okay. I'm on the state board, and that was a hot topic for many years. You know, I don't want to be hypocritical because nobody likes change. And when they right. start talking about the smoking ban and 25% to 30% or thereabouts back then of your customers that smoke, and talking about losing that amount of business would be difficult. So I was an advocate of not change. You know, I didn't want change. It's like nobody likes change. But, you know, I guess after it went through, we did then go ahead and embraced it. We went ahead and painted. Mm-hmm. We went ahead and did some other deep cleaning. We put on a patio. We looked at it, and you know, through that of the smoking ban, all of a sudden we started getting more customers, different customers okay. that we haven't seen because they felt it was smoky before.
Okay.
I didn't, but I grew up in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you were used to it. Now I can't. I hate to say it. I can't hardly tolerate it. You know yeah. what I mean? You get used to that smoke-free environment.
But it required you to be somewhat creative. What can we do to adjust, adapt to it? It's here. We want to keep drawing our customers, maybe new customers, into the place. So you made some investments. You painted, you cleaned things, you put up a patio, but it all paid dividends for you.
I've never been one to sit back and if you're going to complain, and then you always come back to, you always can say, well, this happened and my business changed by this. Well, so then what? You know, mm-hmm. it's the then what are you going to do? You could sit back on that and have business decline. We've never been in that camp. You know what I mean? The old cliche of you're going to make, you know, take some lemons and make some lemonade out of it and go with it.
I think that's key for any problem any business is facing, is you have to face the challenge, strategically think beyond it, and implement and get through it. There's a way through it.
So when this, and we actually did see some growth in our bar business and things like that, and new people, and our business actually then started to increase from where it was before. Then as the smoking ban went along and it went statewide, I actually I joked a little bit and said, well, now Appleton is losing their competitive advantage in the smoke-free environment, because now my customers that want smoke-free, they can go anywhere. Their choices got much greater by going anywhere and experience. So.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mark. We're going to pick up some more conversation after the break. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back on the other side. I'll give out those phone numbers again, and we'll continue our conversation with Mark. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Good morning and welcome back to Biz Talk. Again, my name is Tony Bush with Randy Melzer in the studio, and our guest this morning is Mark Doherty of Mark's Eastside Dining and Cocktails. And we've been talking a little bit about having passion to run a restaurant business and kind of really staying on top of your game,
right.
All the details you have to look at. If you do have a question for Mark, please give us a call at 281-1150, and if you're outside the Appleton area, you can call us at 1-866-887-1150.
Yeah. And, Tony, speaking of questions, I did have a call from one of our listeners while we're on break there.
Okay.
He's, in fact, a client of mine. His name's Tom. And he had a question for Mark. Just very quickly, we were talking about the challenges and about hanging in there, mm-hmm. you know, having faced these challenges and so on.
Persistence.
But
yep.
One of the biggest fears that Tom asks is, how do you overcome the fear of failure? We all know it, you know, that it's not going to be easy.
There are those moments where we doubt what's going to happen.
His question was a little bit more about, how do you overcome that fear? How do you take that first step?
Well, again, second generation. So I went in, and my father wanted to know if I wanted to do this for the rest of my life at about 19 years old. Hindsight now, looking
big
back,
decision,
I don't
huh?
think it was a fair question, Dad. I'll say that. But when I went into it, you know, I said, you know, you go to the edge and you just look at it and say, you know what, I'm going to give it 110% and let it be what it'll be. So sometimes it's just, you got to go, you know, and you're going to try and you're going to do your best and go.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Do your research.
Plan. It could be fear of failure for financial, or it could be fear of failure for personal, or a combination of
both.
And I think I can't really answer that directly as far as what you do about it. I think you gotta think long and hard about it, and when you take a leap, be committed to that, have the passion for that, and work hard.
I think that's a great response, Mark. And Randy, I think it dovetails into what is the definition of an entrepreneur.
Yes.
It's a risk taker, someone who's willing to take a risk. Now, some folks are uncomfortable, as we find out in our Simple Steps programs and some of our seminars. Some people come to the conclusion, you know, sweetheart, we're just not going to start that business. It's not for us. Yep. We're comfortable with our jobs.
Yep.
And that's a perfect success
as
far as we're concerned, just like it is if someone launches a business. But the entrepreneur typically is a little bit more of a risk taker.
Yes.
And if there's a lot of doubt about failure, maybe it's not for me then. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. I try to explain that to a lot of my clients as we go along, that, you know, so your prayers will all be answered.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the answer is no, and that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
We have two goals with SCORE. One is to help you succeed, and the other is to help you avoid failure.
Make right decisions.
Yeah. And that's why the biggest, most important part about the whole thing is to have a very good plan. To work with that plan, it has to include goals. The goals have to include things that you can measure, and they have to have a time frame, and you have to stick to those. So anyway, I'm sure.
Thanks, Randy. Mark, you mentioned a couple times this morning already that you were in the fortunate or unfortunate position of your father saying, son, would you like to take over this business? So you never really started a business. But you've run a business and a pretty successful company, and you've taken it to levels that exceed where you took it over. So you've grown it and made it better and bigger. But I'd like to ask you this. You told us before the program that you have talked to folks who wanted to get into the restaurant business, and you've asked them questions. And in that discussion, you're talking about be aware of the pitfalls, be aware of all the tasks, all the duties, what's involved in a restaurant. I mean, I'm going to cook. I love to cook, so I want to open a restaurant. What's in store for me?
Well, in a few things, and if people, you know, a lot of people just have like a dream or say, oh, wouldn't it be fun to run a restaurant and things like that. Well, you know, it's more than that. Just because you like to cook doesn't mean that you're going to be a good restaurateur. You know, are you going to be a good business person? Are you going to answer those questions, you know? So I think you have to look at it as a whole. Do I want to be in this industry as a whole, to take it on as a whole? Because it is a whole business, and it's not just cooking, or it's not just doing that one entity of that.
What are some other dimensions involved in your restaurant other than cooking and greeting people behind the bar?
I joke, a lot of people think now, because I do a lot of walking and talking, you know, but it took 30 years to get there, and a lot of different changes in my management style. But there is much more involved in the business. I think, you know, it's like almost like tending a garden, you know. I mean, you can't walk away from it, and you can't just every day there's a new weed that pops up, and you can't let them go. So I think it's just really the business's attention to detail down to the smallest one. We are manufacturing a product to be consumed, very personal, and people are eating.
Manufacturing the product, Mark, you do your butchering. You cut up your fish. Some restaurants might buy that frozen or already pre-cut, but yours is all, you do your own processing, your manufacturing.
Sure, you're taking raw goods and materials and making them into a finished product, opposed to buying a frozen soup in the bag that I boil bag.
You know? Right.
But in that process, it can go wrong. You know, I mean, if I buy all the boil bag, it's going to be the same every time. But if we're making our own, there can be some variance in that.
Sure.
But then if we do our own, it's also our own, not out of a bag or out of a package.
Right.
We're from the camp of we do all our own. We do as much as we can. There's a few things we don't, but very few. But that's our passion. That's what we like to do. We don't want to be, we coin it, and I don't want to sound cliche, but we don't want to be good. We want to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
what does it take to become better?
Okay. Well, one of the words I keep hearing you use as you're talking is the word we, which brings to mind the idea of the fact that you have a staff that you work with. I'm a client of yours, and I've met many of your people. Staff in your business has got to be one of the most important things going.
You know, we talk about everything I do, another restaurant can duplicate exactly what I do. there's really nothing stopping them. The only thing that I have that another restaurant doesn't have is my staff, because mm-hmm. there's only one of them. And that might sound, but they really are. They're great staff. You count on them, you lean on them, mm-hmm. and everybody does their job. And when everybody does their job, you know, it all comes together and they do it well. I'm a one, and there's just, like I said, I was the cook for, you know, the one cook for the day, and we'll never go back there again. So they do a great job, but, again, you count on everybody from, you know, starting off of making our soup. And the soup gets made and it starts from a stock, which was the vegetable tops and pieces and, you know, either some chicken bones or beef bones, you know, and you make that and that gets strained and that becomes the beef soup for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes on as far as all the little details you can buy, you know, what quality you buy. You want to, you know, it can be every item. It can be the French fry. People say they love our French fries. Well, we buy the most expensive French fry that we can get our hands on. And I can save, you know, a lot of people come to me and say, Mark, we can save a lot of money by buying cheaper French fries. Yeah, you know, I understand that, but I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. If you buy the most expensive French fry, Mark, do you charge a little more for your French fries?
We've always been a little bit more on the side of people that come to me. I guess they don't come because we're the less expensive place in town. I guess we try to put the best value.
Same meal every time they come in. And that's worth something to the customer.
So the little details, it's all in everything from when you enter the door. I wrote when I was with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, this article called, you know, Be Back or Not to Be Back is the question. And I don't care what level, if you're on fine dining, if you're fast food or somewhere between, if people are going to come to your business and they're going to come in the door and they're going to spend the money and do the thing, I call it, do the gig, and then they're going to leave. Now, will they be back and will they not be back? Our family, when we go out for dinner, we play the game of be back or not to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And or will you have that item again or not have that item again?
Right.
So it's really attention to detail, and it could be down from the lighting, the music, the cleanliness when you come in, how you are greeted, how do the staff look? Are they presentable? Are they pressed? Are they sharp? The cleanliness of the place, you know, that type of thing. Then it moves on into the bartenders and how are they interacting with the guest and the quality of your drink and what kind of booze are you pouring or things like this. Then you move back into the kitchen and what type of products are you using there. Was it timely? Did things come out on the right time? You know, and you have to do this on a day-to-day basis, and you also have to do this on when you don't know how many people you're going to do today.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a question for Mark, please give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton, 281-1150 outside Appleton. You can reach us at 1-866-887-1150. Mark, you mentioned all these things that have to be done. You also mentioned during one of the breaks the importance of delegating. You just can't do it all yourself.
And I think that is one of the pitfalls when you talk about someone starting up their, you know, their restaurant or mm-hmm. a business even, is that, you know, they're very invested. You have your life, you have everything, and it isn't just a job. I can't change. I can't just move and go away and without, I have, you know, an asset. I'm rooted in here, mm-hmm. and my whole life is in this building.
Right.
And it gets hard to delegate. Not always, owners are not always the best ones to delegate. Mm. Sometimes I say it's like peeling bark off tree, you know what I mean? But I got to a point where, you know, through the years, and that's one of the things that did change. I realized I have to delegate and I have to count on people to do those things.
Mm-hmm. That becomes probably one of the definitions, again, of having a business or being the business.
Right.
And so many times, again, when people, we were talking in other areas, of course, continuation, what happens going out from here. But if you can't allow the business to run and the business can't run without you, you're going to have a problem. You don't have a business. What you have is you doing business, and without it,
you should be able to take a day or two off
and
feel comfortable that folks are doing their job and things will be run correctly.
Yeah, which goes back to that staffing question again. You've got to have the people that you can depend on.
Too many times you get trapped into working in your business than working on your business.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's a combination. I mean, I keep the things that I enjoy. I like cutting meat. I'm kind of back in my world, and I cut the fish and I cut the meat, and I enjoy cutting. So I hang on to it, one, because it does give me joy and pleasure in doing that. If it didn't, I could delegate and train it away.
Right.
But if you get working too involved in doing all the duties inside, you really can't see the big picture of where the restaurant's going. You know, how are we doing? Maybe you should be looking over, you know, the financials is very important today. You know, my dad didn't worry about that as much, you know, to fill the house up and it kind of just took care of itself. And today, you know, you could be a busy restaurant and still not making money.
Yep. Absolutely. There's a difference between profit and cash flow.
I can see Tony's eyes keep lighting up every time you mention cash flow. It's just one of his things.
Mark, in terms of you're taking over the business from your dad, that was a business transition. Your dad transitioned the business to you. Your 19 years old son, would you like to do this the rest of your life? Well, the 19-year-old is thinking of other things, but it was a big question, and it was an opportunity. And now you're facing a transition. You might sell the restaurant. Your children might come into it. We don't want to know what the outcome is. I don't want to know what that decision is, but you're facing that. What are some considerations entrepreneurs face when they're looking to transition the business? What are you thinking about? When do you start thinking about it? Is you start thinking about that 5 years ahead of time, 10 years? You're always thinking about it? Or I'm going to retire at 65 and I'm 64 and I got to start thinking transition. What goes into transition thinking?
Well, I'm in the early stages of that. Okay. So, you know, because I got some time to go and I don't feel like I'm coming to my end yet. You know?
Sure.
I got at least another 7 years in me, so I don't know, maybe a chapter of the score might say, well, you better start now. So I might be behind already, and I don't know it.
We actually, when people are asked that question, when should I start planning, are you opening tomorrow? Yes, then start planning today.
At least start thinking some things through and gathering some knowledge about transitions. But what do you think about?
My transition was a little interesting, you know, a little longer in the finances at the time when I took it over.
Sure.
weren't the best. So we kind of transitioned through that, and, you know, so I went from, I became a renter first, you know,
okay.
And then I could finally pay rent. You know, when I started off, a capital improvement was buying matching salt and pepper shakers, and I kid you not, I mean, really,
really?
That was a big deal. I finally had all my salt and pepper shakers to match.
People didn't steal those, did they?
They weren't that nice. Okay. But as we moved along through that, then we became from a renter to a land contract owner, you know, then to an owner of the place through a conventional bank. Through that. So now with having my children coming up and we've had some conversation with that, the short answer is I really don't know. They don't know. You know, they're young and they're smart like their mother and they're doing well. So we'll see where that
goes. One of the challenges in a transition is when dad sells it to son or transitions it to son, son's ready to run the place. Okay, dad, I'll make the decisions now. Dad, this is how we make the stock, the soup. Dad, these are going to be the hour. Dad, we're pouring the drinks this way. I mean, that stuff goes on. It's like letting go. And dad might have been the guy who started the place, all that passion in there. And son or daughter come along with that same kind of passion, but a different way of making decisions.
Letting go
is hard.
I can't imagine what I put my father through. There was, there was some heated discussion at the time. And I remember when I changed my old-fashioned recipe that he obtained through many years out there. I thought he was just going to have a heart attack right there. And the frustration, I think a few more gray hairs came on and out the door he went.
And I remember Chef Bill's being known for their old fashions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember
we did
that.
Go back to that recipe, rest assured.
We
wouldn't do that again. You know, so as far as there has to be a tremendous, I went through it on the one side. I don't know how I'd handle it going through it on the other.
Yeah.
To be quite frankly, I don't know how that'll work for me.
But things will start occurring to you as you get closer to your train. You start thinking about, well, who's going to do this and who's going to order that and that sort of thing. Well, we're at that point now. We're going to take our last break in the program. We'll come back on the other side. We'll finish up our last segment. We're talking to Mark Doherty of Mark's Eastside Dining and Cocktails. And you're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Welcome back to our final segment here on Biz Talk this morning. Tony Bush, Randy Melzer, we're talking with Mark Doherty of Mark's Eastside Dining and Cocktails, and we've been having a great conversation about running a business, a restaurant business, and what's all involved, and how important passion is, and persistence, problem solving, understanding what the customer wants. We've had a great conversation this morning, Mark. Randy, you had another question you wanted to pick up in the segment?
Well, we've been talking about a lot of different things. One of the things, Mark, with your business, you have a very, very clear and defined image, style. I'm changing gears a little bit on this because we talked a little bit about it, but
a brand.
You have a brand. You have somehow managed to combine the two ethnic backgrounds of German and Irish to the point that everybody has come to recognize that.
Irish celebration is more important than spring. Actually.
Well, I actually like the halfway to St. Paddy's Day, but anyway, how did you come up with putting those two together?
You know, and I think that's a great question, and some of it was, again, I took over. Dad was a butcher. I've been grinding. I was at that Tony Wonders back in Little Chute. I remember in first grade, I was next to the meat grinder grinding hamburger while he was trimming.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a butcher, so the steak end was kind of a given. the seafood, that's, we've always done seafood, but now we've really kind of taken the seafood to the next level of bringing in different fish each week that the Valley, a lot of people haven't heard of. You know, this week was golden tilefish, and everybody says, golden tilefish? What's golden tilefish? Like Richard would say, fresh fish.
Yeah.
We bring it in each week. And so that, and it's really kind of, sometimes you try and you go where your customers lead you also. And I think I might have the greatest idea in the world, but if it doesn't develop, if it doesn't carry on, if it's not supported, well, you pick a different direction.
Yep.
And so some of it is customer driven, but again, you can't be everything to everybody. And I think a restaurant's, you know, why do they fail? And one of the reasons they go into, I want to be a restaurant. And well, what do you want to be? Well, I want to do a little this and a little that. I mean, no, who do you want to be? Do you want to be a, you know, a sports bar?
Right.
Do you want to be a family dining? Do you want to be fine dining? And I think people that get into it really don't define that first. I think that's very important. You got to be who you are, you know, have a decision there.
Isn't it important, Mark, that if someone wants to start a restaurant, they should work in one first?
Well, I've,
you know,
I've grown up in it.
You grew up in it, but a lot of people come to score, or people are thinking, I've got this job, it's a dead-end job, I love to cook, I'm going to go start a restaurant.
I had a, you know, fortunately, and again, one of the things I love is I do like to be out front and talk to the customers. And a lot of people do have a little romance with the business. Maybe down the line, if the kids don't take it over, I want to find that person that has the romance with enough money. But I had a gentleman once tell me that he was in the heating air conditioning business. And he said to me that he would just love to get into the restaurant. Boy, he'd like to do what I do. He's really thinking about that. And I said, that's funny. I said, I'm thinking about getting in the heating and air conditioning business. I said, I don't know a lot about it, but I think I could, you know, how hard can it be? And he looked at me with a strange expression on his face like, you don't know anything about the heating and air conditioning business. Why would you ever think of getting in it? And I'm like, well, I don't know how much you know about the restaurant business. Why would you do that? The point being is,
I think you have
to have a little background in any business that you get into.
Yep.
And I think people feel a little more comfortable because we do cook at home. We do eat. We do, you know, it doesn't seem that. But it is, I think you have to have background in any business. I wouldn't take over, let's say, a pallet company because I don't know anything about pallet company or a construction company or buy a plumbing business. I don't know that field. So I think, you know, having knowledge in it, working in it certainly would be helpful growing up and having it, again, as your passion.
If anyone wants to start a business in any industry, go work in that industry before you make that investment because you're really betting the farm on it.
Okay. Can we just, again, one thing I'd like to do is give Mark a little opportunity to just tell us a little bit more about where he's located, how you get there, and what you need to do.
Okay. Well, we're located on Wisconsin Avenue, the newly, after 2 years, those nice, smooth, beautiful Wisconsin Avenue.
Road, yeah.
Okay. Between Mead Street and Ballard on the south side of the road. So getting there is no problem anymore, and I was fortunate to get through that construction point.
Okay. How do we call in for reservations? Phone number?
Okay. 733-3600 is an easy number, 733-3600.
Yeah.
Give Rhoda a call. She'll take your reservation. She's my manager, been there for 18 years.
Do you have any specials going on?
Tonight's prime rib. Prime rib every Saturday, and we're going to offer today. If anybody mentions that they heard us on Biz Talk, come on in and get a sample of the world famous sauerkraut balls. Now,
really?
I understand you guys haven't had them, and Randy, I'm surprised that you've never had them.
Yeah.
But come on in, say you heard us on the Biz Talk, and today, Saturday, we'll give you a free complimentary sample of the world famous sauerkraut balls.
Well, Mark, that's great. We're coming down to our final moments here, but we always ask our guests to leave a biz tip. Do you have a little pearl of wisdom to help people who you want to inspire them or something?
Well, in the Biz Talk and keeping with business, I said, you know, find a job that you love and you never have to work another day in your life. You won't have to worry about counting the hours or paying attention to that. And I'm fortunate if you choose the restaurant industry, it's a great industry. You get to meet a lot of people and have a lot of fun. And I'm still having fun after 30 years.
That's great, Mark. The passion shows. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning. It was a pleasure to have you in the program, Mark.
Thank you for having me on.
Randy?
Just enjoyed it. Mark, I'll be over for the sauerkraut ball shortly, so we'll see you then.
We open at 4:30.
Well, we hope to see you at Mark's East Side tonight. You've been listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
Up on the issues at News Talk 1150 WHBY, Kimberly, Appleton, Fox Cities.